Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome. Great to have you with us on this Tuesday. Brandon Gowton from BleedingGreenNation.com on the continuing struggles of the Eagles. He'll be on today at 3:35. The usual whining, moaning, and complaining from Kevin, also a staple of the show.
Yeah, what was going on last night on Monday Night Football? You mean to tell me not one of those officials knew the rule? Even I knew the rule.
Well, no, it's a judgment call. He must not have thought that it was deliberate.
Well, you're right.
Okay? I mean, there's a big difference between knowing the rule. I mean, does he know the rule? My guess is, of course he knows the rule. Did he? No, but it's a judgment call as to whether you think it's a deliberate act. Now, I thought right away, deliberate act.
It looked like a deliberate act to me.
I thought the replay confirmed it was a deliberate act. They didn't think so. The Lions should have had the ball at the one-yard line, and Dean Blandino, the supervisor of officials for the NFL, confirmed today that they didn't get the call right. Of little consolation to the Detroit Lions, who absolutely needed that game. That's what I love about these calls later when they say, well, we probably didn't get it right. Well, that leaves no one with any satisfaction at all except the team that won the game. You know, the Penn State-Ohio State game last year, they can say all they want that, you know, that, well, didn't get that one right. Now, while I personally appreciate the honesty of Bill Carollo when I talk to him privately about such things, and I appreciate the fact that, you know, that there's enough respect on both sides that when I called, he called me back. Okay, while that's great, there's no satisfaction for a fan sitting there and saying, oh, yeah, well, great, I'm glad they called me. We're going to go back and finish the game? No. It's not going to happen that way. The game goes in. The only one that got any satisfaction out of that was Ohio State. They won the game. The only one that got any satisfaction out of last night would be the Seattle Seahawks.
You know, you call me crazy here, but if this were a baseball game, theoretically, you could pick it up from that spot on another day and finish the game from that point if it were, you know, something that was bad enough to be able to do that. Theoretically, you could do that in baseball.
No.
I'm not sure you could do it in football.
No, you can't even do it in baseball.
Why not?
I mean, why not? No. Why? When are you going to pick it up? When are you going to pick it up?
That's what I'm saying. If you found an open date.
You can't. The teams are different at that point.
How is it different than picking up a game that has been that's been suspended?
But there's a difference between a suspended game and doing that and playing it all over. That makes sense.
No. I'm not saying play it all over again. I'm saying pick it up from that play.
No. Nope.
I mean, in Little League, we used to do suspended games all the time and pick it up from a couple of days later. Now, I realize I'm not comparing apples to apples there. I'm saying in theory.
Let's start with the beginning of that
sentence.
See,
I knew you were going to jump all over that. I'm just saying, in theory.
Let's start with the beginning. No, you can't do that. You just can't. Everything's different. You may have made a trade. A guy may have gone on the disabled list. You may have a different relief pitcher now. There's so many different things that that's completely different about the game and picking it up at a later date. I mean, I know they did that with the Yankee game and so forth with George Brett and blah, blah, blah. Okay, yeah, they did it one time. And it ended melodramatically. And I remember what the Yankees did. The Yankees, Billy Martin, deliberately put out a team that was goofy. Don Mattingly was playing second base when they picked it up. And he did it deliberately because he felt it was a mockery, so he made a mockery of it.
See, I couldn't remember if that was the Brett's situation or if that was another one.
Sure. No, and I remember watching the finish of it.
Now, again, I'm not saying that you should do that here. And it's not a reviewable play either because it's a judgment call. It's considered like pass interference.
Well, there are only two penalties where you're allowed to review the deal. The only two penalties you're allowed to review would be 12 men on the field or whether the quarterback crossed the line of scrimmage. Those are the two you can review.
And you know what? And looking at the other side of it, you can't make it. I've heard some fans saying, well, and read some comments. Well, why not just make it if it goes, if you bat it out of the end zone, whether it's inadvertent or not, it's a penalty. You could do that, but I don't know if that's the right answer or not either.
No, that's absolutely the wrong answer because if you're running along, and for example, you're running along and your hand comes up in such a way because some guys when they run pump their arms. Well, if you're pumping your arms and the ball inadvertently hits your elbow and goes out of bounds, you know, that's not deliberate. That's absurd. You can't do that.
No, I totally agree with that. I totally agree. It has to be a judge. There are some things that you have to go with the judgment of the official. Now, in hindsight, the judgment of that official was wrong.
Yes.
Does
everything
it stink?
Like that.
Yeah.
Everything like that happens in Seattle.
It does seem to happen in Seattle on Monday night in that end zone.
Yes, in that end zone. Now, Calvin Johnson could have helped by hanging on to the ball.
Now, that would have resolved the whole thing.
After all, you're making how much money?
That's usually my line.
And you're the number one receiver in the game. That's what you keep telling everybody. Well, that means you've got to cross the goal line. And, but no memo from you today.
No, I was slacking today.
The last few haven't gone so well for you.
Story of my life. Actually, you know what? I don't want. Calls. Go ahead.
Right. By the way, for those who love the after show, Kevin explains how unique a 4-3 defense is later today.
Stop! It's over. It's gone. It's almost
until
a week later.
Till the next time you play one of those screwy 4-3s.
I don't know when that's going to happen. But anyway. Yeah. I don't want judgment calls reviewed. I don't even want pass interference reviewed. I really don't.
Oh no, you can't. You can't do that. You absolutely can't do that because I mean that really now you start getting back and forth on the hand fighting between the two and so forth. You can't do that. Miles Jack is leaving UCLA. He is going to enter the NFL draft. He has torn ACL, but he's going to leave UCLA and enter the NFL draft. Leonard Fournette, a lot of talk about whether or not he should sit out next year. That way he's fresh and set to go. Really? He's now the poster child of everybody needs to be paid. And you know what's interesting about Leonard Fournette? He is one of the few people on the face of the earth that does not wade in. He just shows up to practice, gets his job done, plays the game, gets the job done, and moves on. The problem for Leonard Fournette is not Leonard Fournette whether he's ready to enter the NFL draft. That's not the issue. There are 100 other people that also think they're physically ready at his age to enter the NFL draft. And in all likelihood, they are not. Now, you make your own decisions along the way, obviously. And I've said this before. I said, look, let them all go. I don't care. Let them all go. Okay? At the same time, because it is not our responsibility to protect them. Okay? They hit a foul ball. They hit a foul ball. Now, people don't like when I say, well, no, they're just kids. Excuse me, if you're adult enough to enter the NFL draft, right, that's your decision, okay? That's that. You know, in other words, I can't run around my entire life trying to put together protections in place for people who make bad decisions. Is that what we're supposed to do? We're all supposed to put in protections left and right in life over athletes who make bad decisions? Not my responsibility. Is it yours? I always love it. Okay, for those in the media who want to go out and say, you know, he should do this, he should do that, blah, blah, he should enter the whole thing. Okay, when somebody makes a wrong choice, is the media put together a fundraiser to help, you know, kind of cushion the mistakes? Have they? There's some fund sitting there somewhere where, like, I enter the draft and all of a sudden I realize, like, I made a massive freaking mistake here.
That would be called the Oops Fund.
But, I mean, this is something that has to be collectively bargained between the NFL Players Association and the NFL. College has nothing to do with it at all. Nothing. Zero. Okay, the NCAA, college football, college basketball have absolutely no control whatsoever over whether a player enters the NFL draft or the NBA draft or not. None. No say. Zero. It is collectively bargained between the Players Association and the respective leagues. The NFL and the NFLPA decided 3 years. The NBA and the NBAPA decided 1 year, 19 years of age. That's their ball game. That's their call. Now, as for those who say you ought to sit out and so forth, I know who one of them is. I don't have any real respect for her opinion on it. She was not kind to the situation around here 4 years ago.
Does she happen to write for a national newspaper?
No, she has. She hosts her own show with somebody else now.
Oh, she just strings for that national newspaper. I've seen some of her articles in there. That's why I wondered.
No, it just what do I care? I won't read it.
You don't know because you skipped it.
Well, I don't bother anymore because, again, I'm not going to sit there and start reading stuff for people I just like that have who believe they have perspective, but then when you see something that hits close to home, you realize they have no perspective. How about that? Like, okay, if they don't have perspective on this, then, you know, then I'm not going to read perspective on anything else because they don't have a clue. All right. We will come back with more in a moment. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. This year marks Sunbury Motor Company's 100th year in business, and we will be keeping the same tried and true values we've had ever since we opened our doors, guaranteeing your car buying experience will be smooth and hassle-free. No spinning a wheel for specials you don't need or want. No pushy sales staff pouncing on you as soon as you arrive. No sideshow yelling. Since we began back in 1915, we have strived to be your most trusted friend when it comes to all of your new car needs, whether that's in sales or service. We strive to offer you as many viable options as we possibly can. Sunbury Motor Company always carries a line of few other auto dealers in our area can compete with our inventory of Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln vehicles. There should be no problems with finding the right vehicle to fit your needs. Our friendly and trustworthy staff is knowledgeable in all of our products and stand ready to answer all of your questions and meet all of your needs. In honor of 100 years in business, SMC is introducing the all-new Auto Club, where Sunbury Motors will pay you for every mile you drive. Be sure to ask us about our Auto Club benefits. Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza and at sunburymotors.com. Proudly owned by the Mertz family since 1915. Welcome back. Great to have you with us. Brandon Gotten, BleedingGreenNation.com joins us today. We will talk with him about the Eagles and why they are 1-3. And get his perspective on all of that and much more. And also today, how about Zach Osterman? He's the IU insider for the Indianapolis Star. I'm on at 4:06 today. Zach Osterman. So we'll give you a little Eagles football, then Penn State football. Follow it up right away with Zach. Okay? Get that rolling. Pete Jensen, NHL.com tomorrow. Start of the NHL season. Pete will be on the show tomorrow. Probably get another Indiana guest on as well. Kevin's feverishly writing this down.
I can't write that fast.
Yeah. But I want to put it on Twitter. When you look at any sport, one of the areas that you have to, as a coach, that you have to do is that you have to look at what you have, and then you have to figure out what's the best way I can win with what I have. And in college football, it's a little more difficult initially as opposed to high school football, the NFL, and other sports, because college football is the only one that doesn't have a preseason proving ground for anything. You only have your own practice as your proving ground. High school football has two scrimmages. The NFL has four, and in a couple of cases, five preseason games. You know, the NHL, the NBA, you know, Major League Baseball, spring training, they all have preseason games. College football is the only one that has no preseason. That's why that opening game of the season is always such a mystery for everybody as to what you're doing, what you're building upon, and so forth. And sometimes you hit a spot, like Penn State did against Temple, say, wait a minute, we got to go back here. We got to figure out what quote, we have and see what's going to win for, quote, us. Well, this is what they have initially now settled on. And you can expand as time goes. Like anything, you know, everybody has their own box. Every team has its own box. Within that capability, within that box, within the boundaries of it, lies your capabilities. Anytime you stray outside of the box, there's a lack of comfort in anything, in life. I mean, for all of you out there, think of all those moments where you're in a situation where you're uncomfortable, but then if you went back to the situation again, you'd be far more comfortable handling it because you've experienced it and you know how to react. Thus, you've expanded your box, your capabilities. Same thing with a team. There's certain capabilities within the confines of the box, and once you get comfortable with it, you can then expand out the things that weren't comfortable before that now have become comfortable for you. I mean, that's in life, and it's also with a team. And Penn State's figured out, at least over the last four games, this is what you need to do. Do what you can to run the football, take care of the football, get takeaways. They're a plus +8 right now. Try and convert those takeaways into points. They have 34 points off of those takeaways. Indiana's plus +9. They have 48 points. So they've done a lot of the same thing. Play really good defense and make sure your special teams are spot on for you. And win the field position battle, which Penn State has dramatically done. Penn State has dramatically, last year Penn State did not win the field position battle. It the games they lost last year, they were down, I think, 12 yards per possession last year in field position. Well, this year it's a completely different ball game for Penn State when it comes to their ability to garner field position. The opposition has only started one drive the entire season on Penn State's side of the field, one in five games. So that's been it. That's really helped the defense out. It's created a bigger field for them to work with. And then when you look at the rest of it for Penn State this year, field position-wise, their average drive start in this four-game winning streak has been the 38-yard line. The average drive start for the opponent has been the 26. That's plus +12 yards per possession. Now, you take that out over 51 possessions. All right? So over 51 possessions, that's 612 yards to your advantage. Drives you nuts I did that fast, didn't it?
A little bit.
But that's what it is. It's 612 yards all told. That's 612 yards in your back pocket as to how you're playing the game. That's what they've been trying to do.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome back. Great to have you with us. Brandon Gott and BleedingGreenNation.com will join us as soon as the producer remembers to call him.
I'll tell you what, we got to hire a better producer.
How's Jen doing? Just kidding. I'll tell you, that broadcasting school really paid off for you. We're in the Sunbury Motors Studio.
Nope,
we're in
nothing.
The Sunbury Motors Studio. We're in the Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And Kevin will tell you a little bit later about the Kia Soul that he is driving. So, all right, the Eagles are off to a tough start. This is not what they expected. It's not what anybody expected so far this year. And it has been far greater struggle, especially offensively. And there are now questions as to whether the parts fit the scheme. Eagles lost 23-20 to the Redskins on Sunday. And it is right now a struggle for Philadelphia. It is a struggle. And Kevin, just let me know when we have Brandon, because
I will do that.
I don't have the screen working for me today.
Yeah, we do not have him at this moment.
Okay. Well, then go find him. Up next,
I'll put a rush on it.
Now, they have a bye week, right? And they play New Orleans on the 11th. So a bye week. And they play this Sunday. They play this Sunday against the Saints. So no bye week yet. And it has been a struggle that few have seen yet. They are in a division that, despite the struggle, they're one game out of first place. The Cowboys, Giants, and Redskins are all 2-2 on the year. So despite being 1-3, the Eagles are one game out of first place.
That's frightening.
But a fact. Chip says they're 2 kicks away from being 3-1. Which 2 kicks were those? I mean, if they get a kick this week, then they go to overtime. Who says they're going to win?
That's a big assumption.
Well, that's a huge assumption that you're going to win in overtime. You can't think. I mean, you can believe that if you want. I mean, Cody Parkey, 44-yard field goal in Atlanta. But if he hits a 44-yard field goal in Atlanta, right, they go to overtime, right? And then Caleb Sturgis certainly missed an extra point, right? But again, he misses a 33-yard field goal. You go to overtime. You're assuming you're going to win both those games in overtime when you haven't shown me yet you can win the game in regulation?
Well, it's that stellar running game that makes them think that they're going to win it.
Well, yeah, but again, what's the Eagles' record in their last 8 games?
Ooh, that's
two
a good
six.
Question. Yeah, two, is it really?
Two
wow.
And, yes, 2-6 their last 8 games. Now, I realize that the personnel has changed.
Yeah, but not for the better in that, according to that statistic.
Right. But that's the last four the first four of this year. But they're 2-6. They were 1-3 to finish last year. They're 1-3 this year. I assume we don't have Brandon yet.
You are correct.
So, in other words, he sees your number come up and he's just not.
Yeah, I think it's automatic voicemail at that point. Yeah.
Know that feeling. Oh, sorry.
No, yours just goes, your call was blocked by the receiving party on this call.
Seem to have that memorized.
I hear it a lot. The party you are trying to reach does not wish to talk to you. You've been blocked. Thank you.
Now, remember Jenny called yesterday on the show about Shikalimi's youth?
Yes.
Which she was correct. Have you ever run into her at a game, talked to her?
Not that I can recall. Well, I mean, I may have. I just may not remember. I run into a lot of people, but I don't necessarily get, you know.
You blow them off.
No, we don't necessarily exchange names or anything, or it's in a passing situation. I mean, I'm not that interesting of a person. Nobody wants to sit and have conversations with me.
I put my head down and go right to the booth.
Nobody really wants to have that much of a conversation with me, so I don't run into the same problems you do going to and from the booth.
No, it's no problem.
No, I don't mean it as a negative problem. I just mean I don't run into that. Nobody stops. Nobody really wants to talk to me. So, and that's okay. I'm not that interesting.
It's a bigger crowd. It's a bigger crowd.
I do have Brandon now, by the way.
Well, good. Job saver for you there.
Thank you.
Brandon.
Thank you, Brandon.
Brandon, thanks. Welcome back to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me. Sorry, I'm late, guys.
That's all right. I forgot to call you right away, so it's not your fault. You could have just said nothing. You would have been off the hook.
I should have.
And yes, Kevin, you could have said nothing, and you would have been off the hook.
See, that's the curse of being a nice guy and having a guilty conscience.
Brandon, they're 1-3. Chip says they're a couple of kicks away from being 3-1, but isn't he assuming too much that his team's going to win games in overtime?
Yeah, I think, you know, you look at that quote and he says that they're only a few kicks away, and that's not actually false, but it doesn't portray the true picture that the Eagles clearly aren't a good team. Even if they were 3-1 and they made those kicks, I mean, still issues on the offensive line. Sam Bradford is still struggling. They can't run the ball. So there's a lot of issues on this team. Even if they were 3-1 right now.
Offensively out of sync, at least to this point, what do you think it's going to take for them, Brandon, to find some semblance of sync within that offense so that they can be more productive?
You know, that's a great question. And you know, I look at how they fix this thing, and there really aren't any easy answers. I mean, I think it all really starts with the offensive line. And they're just not playing well enough. And, you know, we've talked about this before where a lot is made of how the Eagles didn't invest in the offensive line, haven't spent a draft pick on an offensive lineman since Lane Johnson in 2013. But, I mean, really, you know, you look at everyone and everyone is underperforming. You know, you look at a guy like Lane Johnson, as I just mentioned. You know, he's been struggling and he's kind of dealing with injuries now. Jason Kelce, Pro Bowl center, playing very poorly right now. You know, a guy you feel like you can count on, he's only 27, so it's not like age is an excuse. So it's really just everyone struggling, and it's really just, I don't think there's really an answer for it. I think they're just going to keep struggling from now on out.
When I've watched them play on offense, it seems like it's a different guy on every play that's missing a beat somewhere, a different guy. How difficult is it when it can't be zeroed down to one thing?
Yeah, Chip Kelly actually talked about that on Monday, too. He said, you know, he wishes it was simple as that because, you know, you just, if there's one guy struggling, you just take him out, problem solved, put someone else in there. But they really can't do that because there are a number of guys struggling here just across the board. I mean, wide receivers are dropping passes they should make. You know, Darren Sproles and Jordan Matthews had drops on key third downs in the fourth quarter against Washington that could have extended drives and really could have helped the Eagles put up more points and probably seal the game away. At the same time, you have offensive linemen struggling. I think the running backs, you know, obviously can't really get going if the offensive line is struggling. Sam Bradford is still, he's still struggling. He really didn't do much in the first half against Washington. You saw him step up in the second half, but it's really just not good enough to play half of a game. They really need him to play all four quarters, as cliche as that sounds.
What about the deep ball? Does he have enough protection to hit the deep ball, Brandon, or is it just a case of right now he's taking what the defense gives him?
I think pass protection was kind of up and down against Washington, but in general, I think pass protection has been more than more good than not. I think you look at Football Outsiders and they rank the Eagles second overall in pass blocking or something like that. I think, you know, Sam Bradford has had plenty of time. I think there are some instances where teams aren't really allowing the deep ball because they're not really threatened by the Eagles' run game, and they shouldn't be because the Eagles can't really run the ball right now. So they can really afford, other teams can really afford to not stack the box and instead, you know, really just play their to the Eagles' weakness and try to make them throw the ball. And I think you saw Bradford more willing to throw the ball downfield against Washington. I think there were more opportunities there. But there are other times, I think, where the throws are there and he's just too hesitant or he's not throwing the ball with any accuracy.
Are they putting too much pressure on the defense because of this?
Absolutely, and that's really, I feel like, an underrated aspect right now. I feel like, you know, a lot of people are giving the defense a lot of, you know, a lot of bad wishes here because of how, you know, they performed on that final drive against Washington. But to me, I mean, the defense shouldn't have to be in that spot where they're really playing 70-something plus snaps and really carrying the team. And then when it comes down to the clutch, you know, they're kind of just tired. I know defensive players won't admit they're tired. But, you know, this is week in, week out. They're having to carry the team. I'm sure they're tired, and I'm sure, you know, it's not a recipe for success.
Brandon Gotten, BleedingGreenNation.com, joins us. Brandon, despite all of this, the Cowboys are 2-2, the Redskins are 2-2, the Giants are 2-2, the Eagles are 1-3. In other words, a quarter of the way through the season, they're a game out of first place. Does that give some semblance of hope because of where the standings show them?
I think a little bit, but I think, you know, what the key numbers are, you look at the Eagles are 0-3 in the conference, they're 0-2 in the division. You know, I think those are the key numbers there. You know, they have that one win, but that's against an AFC team, pretty much the least valuable win there is, if you want to look at it like that. I just don't think they're in really good standing in that sense. I mean, a lot of people have compared this Eagles team kind of to 2013 when the Eagles were 1-3. But that was totally different because the Eagles had lost to three AFC teams, and they were 1-0 in the division and 1-0 in the conference. So it's really, they're in a much deeper hole right now than they were 2 years ago.
Obviously, personnel change. And Chip's the reason it changed, because he changed the personnel. But in the last eight games, the Eagles are 2-6. What is the reaction right now to what is it by the fans to what they are seeing from the Philadelphia Eagles?
I think a lot of people are disappointed, and rightfully so. I mean, this is a team that had high expectations coming into this season. This is a team that, as you said, going back to last year, a lot of people thought were at least going to make the playoffs, you know, but they collapsed down the stretch, and now they're off to a bad start this season. I think things aren't looking good for Chip Kelly. I don't think he's on the hot seat in the sense that he's going to be gone after this year. I think he's built up too much goodwill, and I think there's a chance that this team might be able to come together a little bit by the end of the year so they're not finishing, you know, as like one of the bottom five teams. But with that said, you know, I think this could easily be a situation where you're going into next year and he's not on firm ground.
That's a very interesting point that you make about him. Saints are coming up. They're coming off a win. They beat Dallas. Drew Brees' 400th career touchdown pass was to C.J. Spiller, who took it to the house in overtime. So they finally broke through with a win. What are some of the key matchups as you view it going into this game?
Well, it probably, you know, starts with the Eagles' offense trying to take advantage of that poor Saints defense. I mean, this Eagles offense has really struggled to get going. Maybe the Saints defense is just what they need to kind of get things going. I really don't believe that until I see it happen, but I think that's a big one. I also think you really need to see this Eagles pass rush step up. You know, they had a lot of sacks last year. I think they were in a second in sacks last year, and the pass rush just quite hasn't been there this year for some reason. You know, they got rid of Trent Cole, but, you know, he wasn't really the only driving force behind that pass rush. He was kind of on the downside of his career anyway. I think the Eagles really need to step up in the pass rush department. But for the most part, I mean, the onus is on the offense to get going because the defense just can't carry this team every single week.
Brandon, great talking to you again. Thanks so much for the time. We appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for having me. See you next week, guys.
Randy Gatton, BleedingGreenNation.com. On the Philadelphia Eagles, who have the New Orleans Saints this week. The Redskins are 2-2. And I thought Kirk Cousins played a nice, rock-solid game on Sunday. You mentioned the tight end, Reed, they got out of Florida. Very important part of the mix. Running game has been good for Washington. Giants are getting good play from Eli Manning. They don't have Victor Cruz back yet, but they're going to get him back to go with Odell Beckham. Giants playing a little bit better defensively. And the Cowboys right now don't really have an identity with Tony Romo and Dez Bryant out. And, of course, in the second half of the game, lost Sean Lee. So it is a crazy division where 9-7 very well may be the winning record in that division, maybe 8-8. But right now, all four teams have a shot at it. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Okay, welcome. Great to have you with us. Zach Osterman from the Indianapolis Star is going to join us in the next half hour to talk about Indiana football as they get ready for Penn State. James Franklin at his press conference today. And he explained the depth chart, by the way. And ironically, it matched up perfectly with what I told you.
Based on the
depth chart based on?
Based on the previous game.
Previous game, yes. Because when they put it out Monday night, there is not a depth chart yet ready. And again, I take you back. I'll give you a perfect example of that. Jordan Lucas. Jordan Lucas, I thought for sure, was playing against San Diego State because he practiced Thursday night. Now, how am I supposed to walk off the practice field on Thursday night and Jordan Lucas practices the entire practice and the next day is only a walkthrough? How am I supposed to think that he's not going to play? Okay. How are you supposed to know? Well, what they did was they did some testing on him Saturday morning, which was standard for him. They needed to. And it turned out that they didn't feel that it was right for him to play in the game. So, I mean, sometimes you don't know. Even if you're there every day, you don't know. And so it's that's why, like you'll hear, for example, game time decisions. Sometimes it really is a game time decision. And James Franklin is not one of those guys. Joe always had a rule, and Joe's rule was pretty simple. If you didn't go on Thursday night, you're not going to go in the game. So in other words, yeah, you may be out. You know, Joe went Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. That's what Joe did. James Franklin goes Sunday, skips Monday. That's their day off, and then it's Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. So Joe always gave the mandatory day off they gave. Joe did was Sunday, and they rarely have did anything on Friday. James Franklin at least do a walkthrough on Friday, and that walkthrough lasts 15, 20 minutes. When I mean walkthrough, I mean they walk. There's no heavy anything on Friday. And so Joe basically said, hey, look, you know, if you don't go Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, but you go Thursday, okay, you can, and you pass all your testing, you can play. If you didn't go Thursday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, you didn't go any of the 4 days, you're not going to play in the game. James Franklin basically has said, hey, look, you know, if you're ready Friday night, Saturday morning, then they'll play you if you pass all your testing. So it's a different philosophy as to what you do and don't do with guys. And Joe's philosophy always was, hey, look, we kind of prepared this week with this group, so this is the group that plays. So in other words, if you weren't well enough on Thursday, water from Lourdes isn't going to improve you by Saturday. And you go from there. I don't remember him ever playing a guy that didn't go Thursday. You know, because you get acclimated. I mean, there's certain basic plays you run all the time, but there's certain parts of the game plan, the script, and things like that you want to get acclimated in. I remember Derek Moy did some stuff during the course of the week, the Illinois game. And they, you know, they tried their best to hold him out, but he did practice that week. But was no better than O'Kett. He did definitely practice Thursday night. Then he got into that Illinois game, which was the last game, obviously, Joe coached. So there's an example of a guy who got it got going on Thursday and got to play in the game, but he didn't get into the end of the third quarter. All right, Zach Osterman coming up next half hour from the Indianapolis Star. Next on News Radio 1070, WKOK.